KGRGFM, KGRGFM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP Sumner Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and I proudly present you with the thrilling conclusion of Gustapalooza Week. That's right, we saved the best for last. And by that I mean, everybody was great. I'd like to thank everybody so far who's been a guest on the show this week, including we had Mr. Monday Night himself, Mike from The Monday Project. He's on every Monday from 7 to 10. He joined us last Wednesday to talk about Emerald City Comic Con tips and tricks. If you're there this weekend, man, I highly suggest not only follow him on Twitter, that's Mike Seibert Radio on Twitter. He's tossing out some helpful tips and tricks there. Plus, listen to that interview. It was a really, really fun time talking to him about Emerald City stuff. Also, he has Crackle Fest going on tonight. So if you're anywhere near the Hard Rock Cafe, go support local Nerd Rock as well as Nerd Rock Abroad, man. They're bringing in people from all the way from New York. So make sure you go check that out tonight. I'd also like to say thank you to our other special guest. We had Wade. He was from the Weird Elephant Project that was yesterday. And if you want to go see Shaun of the Dead, I still got tickets for that. That number is going to be 253-833-5004. I'll be there for that. And it's going to be so much fun. Super excited for that one. As for today's special guests, we have, of course, Matt and Tim from the Not So Much But Us show. They call on every Friday for Geeky News at 6:20, and we all have to talk and a lot to catch up on, as well as award-winning journalist Charlie Harger and the possible creation of a new superhero. As well as we talk a little bit of fake news, so stay tuned for that. That's going to be at 8:20. We also have your six-pack. We have your responses from yesterday's question of the day. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRGFM. We'll be back with your geeky news with Matt and Tim after Help by the Front Bottoms.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
89.9 KGRGFM. You're listening to The Buzz. It is indeed time for geeky news. And I got Matt and Tim from the Not So Much But Us show on the line with me right now. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning. We are Negan. We've always been Negan. I'm ever blessed for Negan. I'm Negan.
Oh, man.
Auburn, yeah. Auburn, Washington, man. How you guys doing?
Doing great. We might have to save the Walking Dead talk for the end because I've got a lot of really exciting stuff.
I'm sorry. I was just super pumped.
Oh, no. I'm super excited, too, and that's why I'm going to have to save it at the end because I could talk forever on, like, the last couple episodes since we missed last week.
Nice.
Let's actually start off with some pizza news because I love me some pizza. Pizza Hut just announced Pie Tops, shoes that can order your food for you.
Oh, they can order your food? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's funny you said that. We just had Pizza Hut yesterday, and that's exactly what the person was telling me at Pizza Hut.
They announced an incredibly limited supply of special edition high top sneakers fitted with geolocation technology to deliver pizza with one press of a button. So basically, they have a GPS unit and a button in the shoes, and you press it, and wherever you are, a Pizza Hut person will show up and bring you pizza.
That's going to save somebody's life one day.
Right?
I didn't hear any details about that.
That's like life alert for pizza. So like you're struggling, you're hungover, you're like, I can't get up and make eggs and eat a banana. Pie Top. And then you get pizza.
Help, I'm hungover and I can't get up.
Right? It's like, who needs Uber Eats? You have Pie Top. They should do that with everything, like Taco Bell.
Mountain Dew.
Beverages. Clothing.
I know that Amazon tried doing something similar just with a bunch of buttons, but each item that they tried releasing had its own button. And it was like everything from like laundry detergent to more adult stuff, I guess you'd call it.
Oh, wow. Like Nutella and other stuff?
Yeah.
Like Nutella and other stuff.
Yeah, the other stuff, man.
I'll tell you what, that's like the first step to being Marty McFly, is getting Pie Top.
Yeah, who needs self-lacing shoes when you can have, like, pizza ordering shoes, right?
So is it like a standard button, like pizza, it's just pepperoni? Or do you have options?
It doesn't come up with specifics. The only thing I can assume is I know that like on Domino's website you can save orders and that can be like your default order. So maybe they'll have like a default order so every time when you press your shoe button, it'll bring you your pizza.
I'm stunned. I want to be in that room when like executives at Pizza Hut were like, you know what, like Chipotle and Subway, they do these apps online, and you know they have that, and then there's Uber Eats, you know, and there's that. What do we need?
And then the guy in the boardroom's like, shoes. That
like, well, it's hot right now.
That you want pizza.
Well, people like LeBron James or Steph Curry, like they like their basketball shoes. Like we should make a basketball shoe they can order pizza with.
And these actually look pretty legit. Like they look like really nice looking sneakers.
No, I thought they were basketball shoes that Pizza Hut made. I didn't know you could order pizza from them.
So who's going to get, like, sandals?
Right, or earrings. I mean, they already have a watch, kind of. You know, like the smartwatches or...
I could see them maybe doing, like, a belt, sort of like a utility belt, and you maybe get a bunch of different, like, delivery services along your belt, sort of like Batman.
Oh, my God.
So, like, you have your Pizza Hut button, and then you might have, like, a Chinese restaurant off to the side... Like your Batarang, instead of having Batarangs, you have, I don't know, like Jimmy John's?
Oh my God.
So here's a good question for you. So yeah, I like where you're going with the belt. That's a good idea. So if they made a belt and you got to customize it, you got to pick one thing, fast food, beverage, you know, bag of chips, like whatever you want to be at your side within like 13 minutes, push the button, what would you choose?
Taco Bell.
Button?
I'm holding Taco Bell. It's always a standard.
Yours is Taco Bell, too?
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of hard to go wrong with pizza, though. Like, many different combinations with pizza that you can even, like,
true.
You can order, like, sandwiches from Pizza Hut.
Let's assume you have the pie tops, though.
You have the pie tops, okay. I am honestly a really big fan of pho, like, the soup. Really, yeah, it's great. That or there's a 24-hour really good burrito joint up here called Memo's.
Wow, you guys have so much better stuff than we have.
So bad. You just sold us.
And they do, like, actual, like, pieces of steak in their burritos. They also have stuff called carne asada fries, which is just french fries, except it has guacamole, sour cream, and steak on top of it.
Okay.
Ooh. I'm pushing my belt, man. I'm pushing it right now.
I tell you what, we're just thinking top of head, if I said top of head, I'd go with Quiznos.
There you go.
Because around here, and Tim knows, we've had exciting conversations, around the Cleveland area, there's not a lot of them. There's one at Cleveland State, which is where I go to school, so. And there's one, I don't know, somewhere else kind of around downtown area, and, like, that's it. So I would definitely go with Quiznos for sure.
That's kind of like us and Chick-fil-A. There's one Chick-fil-A in Tacoma.
There's not many. There's a couple around here, but they're not, like, on every corner like McDonald's and stuff.
Yeah, and it's gotten so bad with that Chick-fil-A that sometimes, depending on the time of day that you go up there, it's always packed, but occasionally they have to have people standing, like, employees standing in the drive-thru line taking orders, like, ahead of the actual speaker.
Yeah.
It gets bad.
Do you guys have Five Guys?
We do. We have a few of them, actually.
Nice. Yeah, those are like, they're taking the country, man.
Those are good. I live across the street from one, so.
No.
They're not as good as though. I don't like the ones, though, that are, like, in the middle. I like the ones that are separate from, like, the malls and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Now, I wanted to talk some X-Men news. First off, I wanted to see if you guys have watched Legion yet, because they're up to season 3, or not season 3, episode 3.
I haven't watched it. Have you watched it?
Yes, and the first episode I wasn't completely sold on it, but since then it's become a little bit, like, I've enjoyed it a little bit more each time.
Does Professor Xavier make an appearance?
No, he's actually not mentioned at all.
Okay, I thought I overheard somebody say that, but okay, that's all I want to know.
Yeah,
Put it in perspective. What does it compete with for you right now that you're watching on TV? What does it compete with?
It's up there with The Magicians right now, and that one I've gone from, like, scheduling myself to sit down and watch it as it is live to watching it on demand because Legion's been so good. And The Magicians have sort of fallen off for me. But just to give you guys a background, it's set around this mutant named David, who he's been told he's been schizophrenic all of his life. So as a character, he's just sort of out there, and it's sort of set from his perspective, so it jumps all over the place. And a lot of the times there'll be random stuff in the scene that you're just not sure if it's actually there or not, or if he's just imagining it.
Right.
And he's also a telepath. So he can hear people's thoughts, he can move stuff with his mind, and the series so far is about him getting basically rescued by another group of mutants, very similar to Professor Xavier's, like, School for the Gifted Youngsters. And these people are trying to help David get through his psychosis and help him realize he's not actually crazy, or he might be. Who knows? Like, that's the weird thing with the show. You're not sure if he's crazy or not, or if he's seeing things or not.
Gotcha. Well, he's supposed to be Xavier's son. Yeah. Xavier's son is Legion. But I don't know what direction they're going with on this show.
They
did a similar
like two-part episode in the 90s cartoon X-Men. There was a similar one.
Yeah.
But I've been enjoying so far. We also have a lot of like Deadpool news that came out recently and a lot of X-Men news that came out recently. For example, Patrick Stewart came out and he said that he's going to retire from Professor Xavier after the Logan movie. But
yeah, that makes sense.
But then, in another interview with the with MTV, on a Facebook Live video with Hugh Jackman, they also asked Stewart that if he was officially done with X-Men, and he said, quote, "I would have to say yes, but the discussion just now about Deadpool makes me think, well, maybe there's a proper justification for the revival of Charles Xavier." So he would consider coming back for Deadpool.
I could, you know what? I could see it, like, not as a main role, just as, like, that one cameo or five, kind of maybe like a Nick Fury character, smaller role, kind of helps do this, helps do that. Because after Deadpool 2, I think they're doing X-Force.
But I would love that so much if he popped in there.
And maybe he has a hand in putting the X-Force together, and then that's where maybe you can get Hugh Jackman as a cameo, one last Wolverine, but I don't believe he's done as Wolverine.
What's the year right now? It's 2017. I can tell you right now, if we hit 2028, you'd see cameos of everybody. I mean, Robert Downey Jr., Xavier. It's not. We're never stopping cameos at this point. You can't. There's nothing stopping that force on Earth.
Well, there's too much money in it.
Right. It just wouldn't make sense. Like, they've gone too far to stop at this point.
I think we could see Xavier, Patrick Stewart Xavier, one more time. Not as as like a minor cameo, and I think same with Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Minor stuff. Once those guys hit a Deadpool movie or an X-Force movie, I think like the world's going to be happy. People are itching to see Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, and Deadpool together, and like have a dialogue and fight like just for like 6-7 minutes, and then they're happy. Everyone's happy, and then I think then it's officially Hugh Jackman's son.
Now we also have a lot of casting rumors for Cable. Now, originally, I thought it was going to be the guy who played Hellboy.
Ron Perlman.
I heard his name attached to it, and I was so on board with it. I was like, that works, especially since, you know, Guillermo del Toro came out and said, no Hellboy 3 ever again.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Toss Perlman in there, that'd be great. But now we have people like Pierce Brosnan, he's rumored to be it. We have Carl Chandler from Bloodline, Stephen Lang from Avatar, but the most recent is Russell Crowe. And Russell Crowe, I'm not sure fits that for me.
I'll tell you what, Russell Crowe and Pierce Brosnan, I'm not sold. Pierce Brosnan, I just think he's too, I don't know, not like
classy.
He's manly. I don't know, I think he's just too pretty of a person. You know,
right? Here's the thing: he's gonna have to act like Cable, where Ron Perlman does not have to act at all, and he is Cable.
Right. And who's that? Russell Crowe. I mean, it kind of. When I saw a pit, because online you see like people make pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, they kind of similar. It just kind of looks like Jor-El on Krypton, a little bit. You know, I'm like, I don't need it. You know, not. But my guy, Stephen Lang, always. I've been wanting Stephen Lang forever.
That'd be great. Like, just thinking back to how he acted in Avatar, just the big old.
Oh,
like,
God.
Military guy? That'd be perfect.
Avatar, or if you saw Don't Breathe, which is my favorite movie of 2016.
Yeah, that's a freaky movie, man.
Oh, man, it's amazing. And he's just a blind military dude, and he's just amazing. And I'm like, that's Cable.
That's getting locked up for 2 more movies.
Oh, really?
Don't Breathe, yeah. As soon as I saw the movie, I went on, I said, are they doing more of these? And it looks like they are doing more.
You saw it. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Now, one last thing. Are you guys... What games are you guys playing right now? Because I know that you finished up Resident Evil.
No, I didn't finish it.
Oh, you didn't finish it?
No, I'm actually... I, like, Switch. I play Resident Evil. I'll play it for, like, a 2 weeks straight or a week and a half or whatever. When I have time, you know, at night. And Then I'll, like, take a break, and then I go to NBA 2K17 because I like basketball. And I'll play that for, like, 2 weeks straight, and then I stop, and then I go back to Resident Evil. So those are pretty much my two games right now. Tim, what are you playing Defiance?
You know what I thought I'd play, man. I'm a diehard Defiance person. I'm trying to find my PS4 game right now that's going to break you from Defiance.
It'll happen, Tim.
Well, have you gotten into Overwatch yet?
No.
You might have to, because they just released a new character, and the way they Blizzard has been releasing characters for this game has been great. They'll do a bunch of lead up to it. They'll do a bunch of, like, I guess you call it fake news stories, but they're news stories based in the world, and they'll tease it, and then they introduce a character, and the newest character is, like, this giant robot who's supposed to be, like, basically a giant tank. And
that's taking the world. That game.
It's like Pokemon Go. Point two, because, like, I absolutely know nothing about Overwatch, but we have, like, we have a lot of friends in, like, the gaming world, cosplay world, and I feel like every other day I hop on Instagram and Twitter, that's all I see, Overwatch. I'm like, Jesus, what's with this game?
Here's the problem for me, which I know it's hard for me, it's bright, animated, and first person, which is usually the games that I just don't.
Honestly,
don't
when I watch the trailers for, I could be wrong.
It's like, very bright animation.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it just looks like Nintendo Wii game to me. Like, that's just how I feel.
Everybody's getting so angry.
It is kind of cartoony like that.
I haven't played it. I've never even played a demo. I've just seen clips and trailers. I'm like, it's Nintendo Wii. Like, I just think it's a cheap Nintendo Wii game.
Think of it more like a toned-down Call of Duty game, where, like, Call of Duties are more about, like, being set in a... Or, like, a Battlefield, where it's all about, like, being all warlike and super dark. This one, it's a little bit more fun, and if you go on the official website for it, they have tons of trailers, and there's a, like, the more you watch the trailers, there's actually a ton of backstory and stuff behind it, and that's been my favorite part so far.
But I'm not a Call of Duty fan.
I think we need to find a game so we can play on PlayStation 4, because I know that Little Big Planet 3 was, like, PlayStation's free game, or PlayStation Plus's free game for last month.
I played the first one, Little Big Planet, I think. It was pretty good.
But we need to find something and do, like, a live play or something, or a live stream.
Oh, no, absolutely. And you know what? I know this is still 2 months away, but Injustice 2.
Yes!
The only thing, I tell you, the trailers, everything looks amazing. I can't wait. I love the first one. I can't wait. That being said, Superman in these trailers looks terrible.
Yeah.
Did you guys read the comic book series leading into it?
I didn't.
No.
It was okay. Like, it was a lot. They explained it pretty well, and they gave backstory pretty well in the video games. It just expanded a little bit more on that. Like, it shows you the lead up of Damian Nightwing taking down Dick Grayson Nightwing and stuff like that. So it's all lead up in the Superman, like, the Superman going crazy universe. Which is, it was interesting. It was an interesting read.
Yeah, and the first one had a great story. The only thing I'll say about the first game, they never get Wonder Woman right.
They don't.
She has, like, big square boobs, and she's just strange looking. The only thing that was worse than how Wonder Woman looks in that game is Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat versus DC?
Yeah, Mortal Kombat versus DC. If they called it
could
anything
have been a great
else,
game.
No, I'm talking about the Mortal Kombat, not Mortal Kombat versus DC, the other one. From a while back. Mortal Kombat
versus Capcom?
No, it was versus DC.
Because that's it was Mortal Kombat. It was DC versus Mortal Kombat because that's when you had, like, Dark Khan. Like, they took Darkseid and they took Khan and just sort of smashed them together.
There was, like, only 12 characters for each.
Yeah,
which is terrible.
Is that the one where he picked up the kid on his back and threw him? And that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? He had that little, like, creature. It's nothing like Mortal Kombat.
You're probably thinking of that game though.
Yeah,
you own it.
Yeah, we own it. It's our shows. I don't.
Yeah, oh, whatever.
So let's go ahead and get into Walking Dead because we have two episodes. The one from, not the latest one, but the one from the week before, honestly, was a little lackluster for me.
Which one?
That was the one where Rick ended up in, like, the gladiator pit against the spiky zombie.
I like calling him the Shrombie.
Yeah.
Like, Shredder and, like, the zombie put together.
It was awesome. A filler episode.
Okay, hold on.
But she's weird.
Hold on.
I like
gotta talk about this. Because I asked the coworker, I didn't watch it on that night. I asked the coworker, I was like, hey, well, how was it? He's like, I thought it was bad. I was like, I don't want to watch it. It wasn't the best episode. However, the new group and the new that girl, the lead of the new that group, was so entertaining. Every time she was on screen, I was all in. I was hooked. I could watch her talk to Rick or talk to whoever, for hours.
She talks like the guy from Rogue One.
Yeah, Jin.
The Force. You remember him? That's how she, right? Like, they would be the best conversationalists together.
Yeah. I really like that character.
And then Rick came out with a cat at the end, right? A statue?
Yeah, he stole, the weird, cat garbage statue or something.
Yeah, that was, my favorite part.
And he's just like, this is mine now. I earned this. Like, you go, Rick.
I earned it. He fought the Shrompy. I think the episode was not that bad. It was super entertaining.
I was laughing.
I was laughing.
The cat made me super happy that when he took it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I think this is a continuation of, Rick's beard growing and him getting a little bit more, feral. He took a trophy.
That's right. He's becoming, he's becoming the man.
Now, the only thing I want to watch out for is his hand now. Because he did get it stabbed, he got that spike stabbed through it. So I'm wondering, is this the start of him losing it? Like, is it going to get infected and he needs antibiotics? Or is... maybe he got some zombie juice on it, and now he has to get rid of it.
Well, you think they're going to take him segment by segment. Like, he's going to lose, a thumb and, a finger.
It's like in parts. Part 7, Rick's arm. That's cool. Maybe. I didn't think about that until now. He's going to lose it either way.
He has to. Like, by the end of the season, that's going to be his thing.
But, all he has a pinky, and he pinky squares with Carl at the last episode.
Right? And he holds on to his dead fake... amputeed arm and
Carl wears it around his neck.
Or maybe they'll remove the hand and they'll get Negan somehow with it.
Oh, slap him in the face.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Negan will handcuff Rick and Rick will just pop his hand off and be like, surprise.
Yeah. He's like, ha 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 ha. Oh,
and then this latest episode, I wasn't sure how I felt about it initially, and it wasn't until the end that I really appreciated it. And if you guys were into the comics, this is a really big turning point for Dwight. Like, this is huge for him.
Yeah, no. So we don't read the comics, but so that happened. So I mean, I'm assuming Dwight turns on Negan. It's been leading up to it.
But Eugene, man, come on. Let's just say I can't stand it.
I'm done with Eugene.
But see, this is the first time I think he's interesting.
I think he's so interesting now.
I was so boring. No, I wasn't. Like, he fits perfectly with this group. Like, he just belongs there. It's so funny. Like, I love when he gives him the idea, and then Negan's just like, man, he's like, not only is that practical, he's like, that is badass. When he tells him about the smelting and the putting the metal over the zombies. Like, that's awesome.
Because we said a couple weeks ago, Carol and Eugene, kill them both, hate them. They're stupid, they're worthless. Now, Eugene, I just think the way he just molded into the Saviors with pretty much just by using his knowledge and his whole tone, his attitude, it's so one note. Like, just when he's playing the video game and those girls come in and she's like, oh, they're like, what are you playing? Like, he's like, I forget what it was, but he's saying it. And then he's like, you can get next. Might be a while. Because he's just such, a badass. Like, he's so smart. He knows how to do all the technical stuff.
Right.
Everything he did in that episode was so entertaining. It was a 180 from his how he usually is, that it really just worked for me. I love it.
And then when he looks at Dwight and he's like, you're Dwight, I'm Eugene, we are Negan.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard. I'm like, that's hilarious. Like, right at the end when they're standing on that catwalk above it. Man, I think it's hilarious.
But I'm really excited to see what happens with Dwight now. Like, this is going to be his season overall. The only other thing I'm going to be excited for is when, him and Daryl finally team up and you have, the two redneck badasses.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if they're going to let both exist.
It's hard to say.
Like, can there only be one?
Oh, I was waiting for someone to say it,
man.
Good job, man.
I could see Dwight dying. He's another character. I was like, yeah, whatever. He's just another character. I don't care. But when he goes to his old house to try to find his wife and she's not there and there's a note with her wedding ring and then he dumps his wedding ring out of the empty cigarette box.
Touching.
I mean, I was like, wow. Like, that
It was super really emotional.
I was super emotional. I'm like, wow. I'm like, that really just hit me. I don't know why. It just did. I don't
care
about
the character. The first time I was invested in the character.
I don't care about the character at all. I think it's because there's like a buildup of like Negan took his wife, his wife did married Negan to save his life, and then they could have been together, but she's like, nah, I'm just going to leave the rings. He's sad. It was like a whole combination of things. I'm like, man, that's really touching.
The only person that needs to come back now is Carol, and I'm telling you, she's going to like drink liquid and become a human bomb and like explode herself next to someone.
I mean, she's ready for it, right?
I think it's time. It's time for her to become the human sacrifice, the bomb.
Yeah, the only thing I'm not the biggest fan of this season is the cliffhangers. They're not doing what they usually do with them and, like, dragging them on for a couple episodes and keeping me watching. Because they resolved the whole Father Gabriel thing the next episode. Like, him running off with the supplies. They resolved that next episode instead of, like... Remember back at the prison when, like, there was somebody mysteriously running around and letting zombies and feeding zombies in and murdering people? That lasted an entire season. Same thing with who let Daryl out, because I thought it was Jesus.
I didn't know.
But then, like, they're like, oh, yeah, it was Dwight's wife. That's like an episode later. I really wish that they would go back to... You know, drawing stuff out. That's part of the reason why I was watching week after week, because I wanted to make sure I, like when Glenn quote unquote died when he got stuck underneath the dumpster.
Oh yeah.
They did tons of episodes in between.
That's true. How many episodes? Well, here's the question: how many episodes do we have left in the season? Are you guys keeping count? Where are we at?
That's a good question.
I think they stopped like at the end of April. Or mid-April?
I really want to know. I want to know like how we should be gauging.
It's not like full. It's not like a CW where there's 20 episodes. It's like 15 episodes or something. 16, something like that.
Let's see what we got here.
There we go. We got fact checking.
I know it at least goes into March.
Okay.
The next couple of episodes. Let's see here.
While we're waiting for those final episodes, everybody remember to go out and get your Moana Blu-ray on March 7th. It was a great movie, man.
Talk about disappointment at the Oscars, though.
There we go. It looks like we only have... Like, there are only a couple more announced right now. Like, we have episode 95 and 96 overall. And for the season, they're episodes number 12 and number 13.
12, 13,
So we have March 5th is the next one. And then the one after that's March 12th. And that's all I have That's all I see right now.
I bet you their finale will be episode 100. That'd go to like mid-April, which I'm pretty sure they usually go into mid-April. Episode 100 is going to be like the biggest battle ever between Rick and Negan. It's going to be a good way to cap it off.
Well, here are the names for the episodes. For the next episode, it's going to be Say Yes. And then the episode number 13 in this season is called Bury Me Here.
Ooh, for the Save Yes episode, is there, like, cover art? Like, is there a picture? Like, what are they showing?
I just see, just like at Wikipedia, so I just see, a Excel sheet with, like, directors' names. Now, this one's actually directed by Greg Nicotero, who did, he's the one who does most of the big episodes.
Oh, nice.
So, like, he's the one who directed the season premiere this season. He also did the season finale of last season. So,
be a good one, then.
Yeah, this should be a really good episode.
Is Say Yes getting the last group on board? Is that the Say Yes?
Probably. Like that new group trying to like bring them all together and team up against the Saviors.
And then Bury Me Here might be where we lose Carol.
I hope so.
She might be saying, Bury Me Here.
They're going to have her like on a wagon and they're going to push her into the middle of the town and she's going to explode.
Right.
And then Carl's going to say, did you believe me? Look into my eye.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We got a lot talked about, and yeah, we need to talk and figure out a game we can play online and do a live stream sometime, because that sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That would be awesome.
Maybe once a month we'll see if we can't pick out like one of the PlayStation Plus free games that come out. Do like a playthrough of one of those, because I've had hit and misses on those.
Yeah, you'll have to like kind of show it because we've never done it. We've never done like a PS4 share with other people and stuff.
So there we go. Thanks so much. That was Matt and Tim for the Not So Much Mo Show. You guys have a good afternoon.
Awesome.
See you later.
You can catch Matt and Tim on their YouTube channel. Just search the Not So Much But Us Show, and they're on the buzz every Friday morning, 6:20 for Geeky News. We'll be back with Hash It Out, 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out, right here on The Buzz.
KGRG 89.9 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. It is indeed time for Hash It Out. So for those of you who don't know, Hash It Out is where we find those hashtags that are trending on Twitter. We discuss them, because the only thing that can make your hash browns better is some hashtags, right? Right. So for this morning, we're going to keep it short, we're going to keep it simple, we're going to keep it sweet. We got hashtag super old heroes and hashtag keep Twitter positive, because you always need a little positivity in the morning. It helps. I mean, I could show you some. So, for our first one, hashtag super old heroes, we have hashtag super old heroes, the Ghost Rascal, as opposed to, you know, Ghost Rider. I mean, he's technically writing. That'd be terrifying, though. Like, there's some old people out there who are pretty intimidating. I remember back when I was working my old retail pharmacy job. Yeah, you had the soccer moms who want to talk to your manager or whatever, but you get those, like, old dudes who are back from, like, Vietnam and they're just there to pick up their meds. They were scary dudes. Physically intimidating, but once you get to know them, they're sweethearts. They're great. We also have hashtag super old heroes, agents of AARP, as opposed to agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which, yeah, equally terrifying. We have hashtag super old heroes, rocker raccoon. We also have no later than 6 o'clock crawler, as opposed to night crawler. I mean, or you could have early bird crawler. You have Harvey Dentures. And you also have hashtag super old heroes, rusted Iron Man. Hashtag super old heroes, the Green Hornet. Hack his Green Hornet. And then we have hashtag super old heroes, Werther's Woman. Because the hard candy. Next hashtag we have for you this morning. Hashtag keep Twitter positive by blank. For example, hashtag keep Twitter positive by multiplying 2 Twitter negatives. Little joke for you, a little math joke for those of you, because finals is coming up soon here at Green River College, which means registration's open for Journalism 110 and 120. If you want to sign up, be a radio DJ just like myself, and possibly intern on The Buzz, you know, be a part of it, be a part of the show. Just sign up for Journalism 110 at Green River College. Go into greenriver.edu and sign up. Let's keep the hashtags rolling with hashtag keep Twitter positive by being kind, even when others are not. And sometimes that's hard, especially, you know, doing the morning show. I have to be up early, and I end up staying in the studio, you know, going into the afternoon, and that's when people start showing up, and that's when people start getting on my nerves. And by the time I'm leaving, I'm just like, I need to get out of here. Don't get me wrong, there are a ton of people up here who I love, and they're great, but coffee can only do so much, man. Hashtag keep Twitter positive by posting pictures of cute dogs. I mean, yeah, I'll have to post some of me and Emmett, because Emmett and I went on a walk, and you know what? He's so adorable that I had to get him his own little, like, flannel, and he looks great in it. We have hashtag keep Twitter positive by remembering your opinion isn't the only one. And especially on social media sites, that's hard, because once you get behind the screen, it's really easy just to yell over each other, because something you have to practice in radio is not talking over each other, and whether it's in studio, on the phone during an interview, over Skype or whatever, it takes some practice. But because there's actually another voice in your ears, or another voice going over the airwaves, that's something you have to practice. Online, you don't have to worry about talking over somebody, because it'll post no matter what. You can take your time and choose how you read things. So take your time, take a breather when you post stuff on the internet, and just remember, hey, your opinion's not the only one, and if you're getting into a discussion, great, for discussion's sake, but don't argue just to argue, man. If it turns into just name calling or whatever. Keep things positive. Just accept that people have their own point of views, and whether or not they're wrong or whether or not you agree with them, doesn't matter. Let them do them if they're really that set in their ways, man. Just leave it be. Those are your hashtags for this morning. Hashtag super old heroes and hashtag keep Twitter positive. After Say Anything, Wow, I Can Get Sexual Too, we're going to have your responses for yesterday's question of the day, which was, which movie or TV show could you watch repeatedly? And if you want to chime in, you can call 253-833-5004. We will have those phone lines open. We are taking your calls live on air. Again, that's 253-833-5004. We're in Guestapalooza week, so why not be a part of the show? This is your chance. If you've ever wanted to be a part of the buzz, call in 253-833-5004. Let me even have a pair of tickets up here for you with your name on them. 89.9 KGRGFM. You're listening to The Buzz, and I do have a caller on the line. I have Sophia calling in from Puyallup. Good morning, Sophia. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And the question of the day from yesterday was, what show or movie could you watch on repeat? And you brought up one that I completely agree with.
Parks and Recreation. I am in love with that show.
And I can't blame you. I'm also a big Office guy, but Parks and Rec is a little bit more quirkier for me, and I love it.
Honestly, I'm not a huge Office fan. Every time my friends make me watch it, I'm like, okay, but can we put Parks and Rec on?
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. The Office, it's just never really been my thing. I think it started when I was a little bit younger, and I just never quite got the whole nostalgia thing with The Office.
That's perfectly okay. So, favorite character on The Office on Parks and Rec?
Ben Wyatt.
Why?
He's a total dork, and I think I love that about him. He's totally cheesy all of the time, and he's really funny as an actor.
See, I loved Aubrey Plaza's character in this one, and I don't think she's done as well in anything since then. Because she showed up in, what was it, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, and she was sort of in a similar role, but then Parks and Rec, she nailed it.
Oh, for sure. I think she was in Life After Beth. That was pretty funny, if you haven't seen that.
Okay. And then my roommate actually looks like Chris Pratt a little bit, which is funny. Because
that is funny.
Initially, before Guardians of the Galaxy came out, people say like, oh yeah, you look like Andy. And he'd just sort of get all depressed because, you know, Andy's a little out of shape. But then once Guardians of the Galaxy came out, they're like, oh yeah, you look like Chris Pratt. And he got excited because, you know, Chris Pratt got all ripped in that movie. That's a huge transformation from him, too.
That was huge. That's body goals.
So, do you have a favorite episode?
Because I love Ben, I love the Smallest Park episode where Leslie and Ben finally decide to just say screw it and actually date. I love that episode.
Oh, my gosh. The episode where they meet up in London was great, too.
Yes, that one was super cute.
Well, Sophia, thank you so much. And because you're such a good sport and you called in, you are all signed up for those census fail tickets. And that's going to be April 3rd. And it is April 3rd. And that's actually something I haven't even announced yet. So congratulations.
Well, thanks.
And you're actually, you have the tickets for the Grand Cinema tomorrow night, right?
Yes.
Sweet. I'll see you there. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, it is Guestapalooza week. If you want to call in, I'm taking live calls, 253-833-5004. The question of the day from yesterday was, what show or movie can you watch on repeat? Thanks again, Sophia from Puyallup, for calling in. Other responses we got online were, Natalie, she says Game of Thrones. I'm not sure if I can watch it over and over again, but that's one of those shows that I can definitely, like, I'll schedule my TV time for. That's appointment TV for me. We also have TJ Draws Stuff on Instagram. He says Office Space. I've watched clips of that movie. Gonna be completely honest, never got into it. We have Debbie Does Dallas from Stardog the Res, aka Justin, that is also on Instagram. I don't think I've heard of that one. Shannon from Uncommon Chords, she says Tarantino. So I'm not sure if she means anything Quentin Tarantino, which honestly, I can agree with, which falls into what Chris from Waking Thing says. He says, Kill Bill, which I completely agree, first and second. That was a requirement for me dating my girlfriend, was she said she hadn't seen Kill Bill before. I said, all right, we're sitting down, we're watching part one. Part two, if you want to watch on your own, that's on you, but we have to at least watch part one. Waking Things also said Ferris Bueller and The Dark Knight. My favorite, honestly, is the one with Bane in it. I'll watch the Heath Ledger one. I'll watch the first one, but unpopular opinion, I know. I'll stick with the one with Bane. I love it, and I have no clue why. It might be the voice. Just the hello, Batman. He sounds like a supervillain. The other responses we got was from Rock Mash Chain Photography. He says Grind and Out Cold are two of my favorite movies that he can watch over and over again. So, personally, I announced some of them yesterday, and I announced some of them on the Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at TheBuzzKGRG. Yeah, Green Lantern, weirdly enough, is one that I'll watch. I know it's an awful movie, and I know it tanked in theaters, and I know it probably killed Ryan Reynolds' career for a minute, but I can't get enough of it. It's my, if I'm sick, I will lay down and watch that movie, or if I'm just not feeling well in general, I'll just watch it and make me happy, because as, like, that's my superhero. That Green Lantern is my superhero. And that's the only movie I have, damn it. X-Men, you have 80 billion X-Men movies. Spider-Man, you have 80 billion Spider-Man movies. Any other superhero, like Iron Man, Captain America has a few movies. You have multiple movies, and yet you can pick your favorite superhero movie for if those are your superheroes. But Green Lantern, that's what I got. So again, it's Guestapalooza week. If you want to call into the show, I'm going to open the phone lines all show long. At any point during the show, if you want to call in, 253-833-5004, I will stop what I'm doing. We will talk. We'll have a good time. I still got some tickets up here if you want to party. If you want to join Sophia and I at the Grand Cinema tomorrow night, I still have a couple pairs of tickets left for that one. The number is 253-833-5004. Same number if you want to make a request. Same number if you want to just talk, hanging out, whatever. Again, this is Guestapalooza week. We're going live phone calls all morning long on The Buzz, 89.9 KGRG-FM.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by the Grand Cinema and Weird Elephant Series presents Shaun of the Dead. That's going to be tomorrow, March 4th. Festivities start at 10 p.m. You got beer, you got ice cream, you got karaoke, and you even have a cosplay contest if you participate in the cosplay contest. First place, professionally done zombie makeup job. Second place, you get an entire movie theater to yourself to play video games in. It's going to be great. And then third place is the Shaun of the Dead soundtrack on vinyl. So, if you want to participate, and if you want to go to the movies, I'll hook you for free, 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004. I only have a couple of pair of tickets left, so if you want them, act quick.
Yes!
Well, let's go ahead and get into some news, shall we? And just a quick reminder, it is Guestapalooza week, and we are at the end of Guestapalooza week, so the phone lines are completely open. If you want to call right now, 253-833-5004, I will pick up the phone and I will talk to you on air and it'll be fun. Gosh darn it. But let's go ahead and get into some news, shall we? First news story I have for you this morning. An Iowa lawmaker says his business degree was a sizzler certificate. In Des Moines, Iowa, an Iowa state lawmaker says he didn't mean to mislead anyone by claiming he had a business degree from a company that actually awarded him a certificate for participating in a training program when he worked at Sizzler. State Senator Mark Cligrin's biography on an Iowa Senate Republican website had noted he had a business management degree from Forbco Management School. The information was removed Wednesday after NBC News reported Forbco Management is a California company that operated a Sizzler franchise. Iowa State Republican spokesman Ed Failer confirmed Thursday that Chilgren's biography was updated after NBC report. He said Chilgren doesn't have a college degree, but Chilgren later said he earned an associate's degree from a community college. I mean, he got that far, right? If you can get that far on a fake degree, I mean, do you know how many people have quote-unquote honorary degrees from Harvard when they didn't actually go to the school or participate in a degree program or even like attend a class or get credits. If this dude has a Sizzler degree and he can get this far and he's a state senator and he's doing his job and he's actually, you know, representing his constituents like he should be, good on him. Let the dude keep his job. Who cares if he got a degree from Sizzlers, man? We all do that on the job training, and you know what? It's training nonetheless. And he does have an associate's degree. So if you want to get your own associate's degree, I'm not promising you'll become a state senator or anything. You can join Journalism 110. We actually have an entire broadcast radio journalism program here at Green River College. Just go on to greenriver.edu, sign up, and you can even be an intern on the bus. And become a radio DJ and have a ton of fun. You know, get a professional radio job. And you know what? Who knows? You might become a state senator. You might. Next news story we have for you this morning. Oklahoma City police seek a suspect with a shirt full of bacon. Oklahoma City police are searching for a man accused of stealing 6 packages of bacon from a grocery store by stuffing them inside of his shirt. The Oklahoma City Police Department said in a Facebook post the man was confronted by an employee at the Smart Saver store. He had been seen hiding 6 packages of bacon totaling about $30 worth inside of his shirt. The man refused to return the pilfered pork and left the store in a hurry, police said. Quote, "Hey, I like bacon as much as the next guy, but you can't just go around stealing it," the police said on a Facebook post. Now, weirdest things I've ever seen stolen working in retail. Current job, I work at a game store, so like board games, card games, that sort of thing, you don't really see that much theft. Most of the time, that community is pretty cool about it. But my first actual retail job, I saw everything from, you know, hair supplies, makeup was a popular one, some adult toys, some battery-operated adult toys. If you don't know what those are, kids, ask your parents. We also had... This is the weirdest one. Walking down the aisle, the place I was working at, not only sold adult toys and makeup, but they also sold alcohol. And this dude wearing sweatpants decided it was a good idea to open up his sweatpants, take a bottle of wine, and shove it down his pant leg. And I walked in on him in the act. Like, turned the corner down an aisle, and there's this dude holding the wine bottle halfway down his pants. We made eye contact, and... He knew, he just put it back, and honestly, I took that thing off the shelf and just told my manager, do not sell that wine bottle. But bacon? Really? I don't think I've ever been that desperate for bacon where I tried to steal $30 worth by shoving it in my shirt, let alone, like, shoving a wine bottle down my pants. Who are you fooling, man? Last news story we have for you this hour... A Miami man was arrested for transporting over 350 pounds of marijuana near Fort Myers. A Miami man is behind bars in Southwest Florida after police found him driving a van with over $1 million worth of marijuana inside.
Woo!
According to NBC affiliate WBBH-TV, officers from Lee County Sheriff's Office were trying to pull over a van on I-75 in North Fort Myers for illegal window tinting. When it took off, the driver later stopped in a wooded area before fleeing the vehicle. Inside, deputies found 11 bags of what they said was freshly harvested marijuana at 355 pounds. Officers later found the driver, 51-year-old Carlos Aguilera, in the woods and arrested him. He is charged with multiple counts, including drug trafficking and resisting arrest. He remains in custody on a $36,500 bond. 355 pounds. Let's give you some perspective on that. I weigh 135. That's about 3 of me. He had the equivalent of 3 of me in his van of marijuana. Oh boy. You'd think with everything else that happens in Florida, that'd be the least of the worries. You have people doing bath salts, you have people mailing themselves methamphetamine. Dude full of weed in his van? Dude's a saint in Florida. Now, this was your news for this hour, and don't forget, we have our very special finale of Guestapalooza. One Mr. Award-winning journalist, Charlie Harger, he's going to be on at 8:20 to talk fake news and more, and we even have a special edition of Visit Realers at Fake News. So stay tuned for that at 8:20. Because it is the thrilling conclusion of Guestapalooza week, we are taking your phone calls, whether it's live on air or if you just want to talk off air. That phone number is 253-833-5004, and I even have some participation trophies. That's right, I got some free tickets, not only for the Grand Cinema's Shaun of the Dead happening tomorrow night, that's going to be at the Grand Cinema. Starts at 10. I got your free tickets here. I also got some Census Fail tickets, and we'll see what else we got. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM. A day to remember, the downfall of us all on 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz! And it's time for the Situation on Gustapalooza Week, so if you call in 253-833-5004, I will give you a situation, and you have to decide whether or not the consequences are worth the reward. The phone number is 253-833-5004. 253-833-5004 to be a live participant of Gustapalooza Week. So let's go ahead and get into it with our first one. You will get the super ability to read minds, but if you read their mind for too long, they'll know you're doing it. And I'm not sure how that's not the case more often. Like, typically when you see people reading minds, they do the weird, like, you know, point your finger and middle finger against the temple, and they'll stare real weird. They might even do, like, one eye bigger than the other and almost look like they're pooping. And they'll stare super intently at the person they're trying to read the mind of. Just stereotypical, like, comic book mind reading stuff here. It's like mind reading 101. So how these people don't get caught with, like, reading minds more often, I have no idea. But I guess if you're quick enough about it, you can, it'd be fun. Although there's the whole, do you really want to know what people are thinking? There are a few people. There are a few people who I'd want to get into their head and actually figure out what's going on up there. But there are some people I'm just like, dude, you got some issues. You keep your issues in your own head. But if you have the ability to turn it off and on and read minds, well, why not? And if they know you're doing it, yeah, it might feel a little violated, but that's why, yeah, keep it quick, right? 86% of the internet agrees with me and thinks, you know, reading minds is cool. 14% said, you know what, we'll let people have their privacy, which is considerate. Next situation we have, you can teleport at will, but your body instantly feels all the effects as if you had traveled that distance by foot, including dehydration. I mean, if you're going to instantly feel the effects of that as if you had walked, dude, you go cross country and you feel the effects as though you walked cross country. Dude, you hydrate yourself, make sure you're well fed, make sure you're good to go. Maybe even like stick an IV in your arm before you leave. And then you get the effects of acting like you walked across the state or walking across the country, or maybe even you swam to like Hawaii or something. You'd be so freaking fit. Hell yeah, man. And then, like, then you'd be cardiovascularly just fantastic. You'd be in the best shape of your life. So why not? 63% of the internet agreed with me. 37% said, you know what? I would rather not. I enjoy myself the way I am. I don't like teleporting to wherever I want to go. I want to talk to those people. What's wrong with them? Next one we have. See here. We've got, you meet peaceful aliens who offer to bring you to their planet and live there. You'll be able to live there like you live on Earth, meaning disease and oxygen-wise and temperature-wise, all that stuff. It's about the same. But you can never return home and will never see or talk to any of your family and friends or any human ever again. I think I'm okay. I think I like where I am on Earth. Are there places on Earth I'd rather move to? Yeah, sure. Over the summer, I took that trip to South Carolina. You got sandy beaches. You've got really warm weather. You've got a really awesome beach town in Charleston. Charleston was great. A ton of history over there. Basically, any street you walk down, you can tell the time period just by looking at like how the roads were constructed. You also have oceans that are basically bathwater when you're swimming. So, yeah. I would love to move over there. I would also, Portland's great. I'm actually going there next week. There's going to be no show on Thursday or Friday because I'm heading down there to visit my grandparents. But Portland's also great. Seattle's fantastic. So there are plenty of places on Earth, especially in the United States, that I'd love to move around and be permanently. I'd still like to see my friends and family, but you know what? I don't think I can move to another planet and be surrounded by a bunch of just strange aliens. 39% of the internet disagreed with me, however, and said, No, get me off of Earth. Get me as far away from possible from my friends and family. I'm done with all of them. Let's go hang out with some aliens. While 61% of the internet agreed with me and said, you know what? Let's stay on Earth. Earth is a pretty neat place. We'll call this one our last situation of the morning. You'll be able to do anything you ever wanted, ever. But you will have to work the job of your nightmare for a year before this kicks in. I'm trying to think what that job would be for me. What would my nightmare job be? Because I'm afraid of heights. So I guess like being one of those skyscraper window dudes, that would terrify me. Those guys who are like on those little platforms and they have the little rope and pulley system. And always during a movie, like the first ones that get hit and they end up falling off and falling to their doom. That'd be terrifying. Or maybe a trapeze artist. That would also be terrifying because I'd be afraid of like flinging off and just breaking my neck. Though by the end of it, I guess, you know, that's how Robin got started. So maybe I could be a superhero. Who knows? Or at least a boy wonder. More terrifying jobs. Tarantula wrangler? Or like, being a rodeo clown would also be terrifying. Because, like, I wouldn't want to get stabbed. That'd be just awful. So, you know what? If it's only for a year, I worked my first job for 5. I think I can suck it up for a year. So let's do it. 78% of the internet agreed and said, no, they would love to do anything they ever wanted ever in exchange for 1 year of the worst job they can possibly think of, their worst nightmare job. While 22% of the internet said, you know what? I like the job that I'm at now. I mean, if you worked your nightmare job for a year and you can do anything you ever wanted, that means your dream job too, buddy. But that was the situation on 89.9 KGRG-FM. Stay tuned into The Buzz for Guest of Palooza Week. If you want to be a guest on The Buzz, live or just, you know, talk on the phone, you can call me at 253-833-5004. And we'll talk. We'll talk about whatever you want, man. But we got the six-pack coming up next on 89.9 KGRG-FM, Today's Rock.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, Today's Rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
KGRG 89.9 FM, you're listening to The Buzz. We're in the end of Guestapalooza Week, so if you want to be a guest on The Buzz, the phone number is 253-833-5004. All you have to do is dial, or you can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at TheBuzzKGRG. Now it's time for our six-pack, our top six list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. And for all you 90s kids out there, you'll be just as excited as I am about this one. It is the top six little-known facts about popular 1990s songs. So, I'm going to list off a bunch of songs. You're going to get excited. I'm going to be excited. If you want to call in 253-833-5004, we can be excited together. And I'll hook you up with some tickets too for, you know, calling and participating, just like Sophia did earlier. Oh, we also have our question of the day, but we'll get back to that later. Our number six in our six pack of the top six little known facts about popular 1990 songs is Baby Got Back.
Oh my.
By Sir Mix-a-Lot. In 1992, Sir Mix-a-Lot hit the charts with his controversial song, Baby Got Back. It was controversial because of its blatant references to the female anatomy, but is also popular as it was proven by the fact that it was beaten out only by Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You when it came to the sales that year. What some may not know is the song was inspired by another very famous singer, none other than Jennifer Lopez. In 2014, Sir Mix-a-Lot told Vanity Fair that Jennifer's smooth dance moves and Living in Color served as his primary inspiration for writing Baby Got Back. And while he admires other women's curves, including Kim Kardashian's, J-Lo will always be queen where derrieres are concerned. Well, there you go. That song's about J-Lo. And here I was thinking it's just about, you know, as Queen would put it, fat bottom girls in general. Number five in our top six little-known facts about 1990 songs, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
After 28 years of making music, Aerosmith finally debuted at number one on their U.S. Billboard Top 100 in 1998 with the song I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. Used in the soundtrack to the blockbuster movie Armageddon, the song stayed at number one for a month and sold over 1 million copies in the UK. After being nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Song, quote, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing was also nominated for a Golden Raspberry for Worst Original Song. But it didn't win either. However, Aerosmith came close to never reaching the coveted number one spot since the hit song wasn't written by them in the first place. The band had struggled to come up with an idea for Armageddon's soundtrack and eventually settled on I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, which was originally written by Diane Warren for the one and only Celine Dion. Now with that song, I don't think it would have been the same written by Celine Dion. Performed by Celine Dion. I think that as a rock ballad, it's right up there as one of my favorites. And like, it's weirdly enough one that my little brother and I will sing all the time every time it pops on the radio. Like, that song pops on, boom. And I don't want to miss a thing. My best Steven Tyler impression, everybody. My best Steven Tyler impression, thank you. I'll be here all morning. Last one we have, and this one goes out to those pop fans out there. Number four in our top six little-known facts about songs from the 1990s, I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys. In 1999, boy band Backstreet Boys released their first single off their album Millennium. I Want It That Way stormed to the top of the charts in 25 countries, and some critics called it the pop song of the year. The video for the song was equally popular before being somewhat overshadowed by a parody video by Blink-182. Some lesser-known facts about the song include that it was banned in China 12 years after its release because it failed to undergo a screening process before being made available in the country. Also, opening notes of the song were inspired by the massive hit song Nothing Else Matters by Metallica. Those are two very different songs, and the fact that they were inspired by Metallica honestly makes them a little bit more metal, and I appreciate that. But that was always a weird one. Like, growing up, I was in daycare, and like, I also had I had an older stepsister and a younger stepsister, and growing up in the 90s, both at daycare and at home, there was always that war between, is it Backstreet Boys, or is it NSYNC? Which one's more popular? And to be honest, I'd have to go Backstreet Boys. I loved No Strings Attached, don't get me wrong. NSYNC was great, and I had that CD, believe it or not. But, Backstreet Boys always just hit me a little bit harder, man. And I Want It That Way always reminded me of Burger King, and I love eating me some burgers. So, Burger King, if you're listening, sponsor me some free burgers. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KJRG. We're at the end of Guestapalooza Week, unfortunately. But we're in the middle of our six-pack, luckily. We're in the middle of our six-pack of the top six little-known facts about 1990 songs, and we'll be back with part two after Red Light by The Morning After.
And now, back to the six-pack.
KGRG-FM, KGRG-FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, 70 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and we're in the final day of Guestapalooza Week. I want to thank all of our guests who've been on so far. We had Mike from The Monday Project on every Monday night from 7 to 10. We had Marsalis also on Wednesday here to talk about their show. It's going to be next week at the Crocodiles, March 11th. So make sure you grab your tickets for that because it's going to sell out soon. We also had Mr. Wade Neal from the Grand Cinema to talk about the Weird Elephant series going on in the Coronado Trilogy and all the fun stuff that's happening on Saturday. We also had Sophia from Puyallup call in, and the phone lines are still open if you want to call and be just like Sophia, talk to me on air and love a ton of fun. Geek out about our six pack, which is the top six little known facts about 1990s songs. For example, number six was Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot. Number five, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith. And number four, the Backstreet Boys, I Don't Want It That Way, inspired, weirdly enough, by Metallica. So let's go ahead and get into number three, shall we? Number three, of course, can be from none other than Billy Ray Cyrus with his one and only song that I can only think of. Achy Breaky Heart. Achy Breaky Heart, seemingly destined for both fame and ridicule since Billy Ray Cyrus first performed it on his 1992 album, Some Gave All. It was Cyrus's ticket to fame and his most successful song, achieving platinum status in Australia and reaching number one in the country charts and number four in the Billboard Hot 100. However, the song also features the top of the charts, which names like Worst Song Ever. In the Disney show Hannah Montana, Cyrus parodied himself when he pretended to write the song back in 1987 and scoffed at the words achy breaky by saying it's just about the dumbest thing ever. For some reason, Cyrus decided to re-release the song in 2014 as a hip-hop remix. The version includes a video including rapper Buck22 and twerking aliens. Did that entire freaking family lose their gosh darn minds? Like, not gonna lie. Growing up in the 90s, I was a kid, man. Like, I was born in 92. So growing up as a kid, Achy Breaky Heart was just really catchy, and that was it. My mom, she listened to the country radio driving me and my brother to school in the mornings. So that song would occasionally pop up, and it was just that. It was a catchy song. A good song? No, but catchy songs very rarely are. But the fact that he went and made a hip-hop remix out of it? What is wrong with you? Number two in our top six little-known facts about songs from the 90s. Barbie Girl by Aqua. Barbie Girl was released by Aqua in 1997 and shot up the charts in many European countries where it peaked at the top for 3 weeks. Not surprisingly, the song was most successful for Aqua throughout their musical career. Much the same as with Achy Breaky Heart, some people couldn't get enough of it while others simply hated it from the get-go. The latter category includes Mattel, the manufacturer of Barbie and Ken dolls. In fact, they hated the song so much that they dragged the matter into court, claiming that Aqua had infringed on their copyright and had fans and consumers thinking that Mattel supported the song. MCA Records in turn sued Mattel for defamation. As expected, the courts threw out both cases. Dude, if you're Mattel, why are you suing somebody who made a song about one of your products and is probably driving your product sales through the freaking roof? I don't have the numbers in front of me, obviously, but you can only imagine, like, when that song hit number one, and again, catchy song is catchy. How are you not making money off of that? At the very least, charge them for royalties, since, you know what, they are talking about your product. But, you know, Barbie's the name, and you can't prove that it was after the doll, so there you go. I guess that's what threw it out in court case. Now, number one, and this is a song that I parody all the time, and you know what? If you show up to the Shaun of the Dead movie screening on March 4th, that's tomorrow, that's Saturday, starts at 10 p.m., there will be karaoke. I might even sing a song if you're lucky, or unlucky. Number one in our top six little-known facts about songs from the 90s, Creep by Radiohead. When Radiohead released Creep in 1992, it was largely unnoticed. When released again a year later, it became a massive chart-topping hit. So much so that fans would only request Creep during Radiohead's live shows and basically ignored their other songs. The song was inspired by a girl whom Thom Yorke was into and who showed up at one of their shows. Creep also caught the attention of undesirables around the world, including a convicted British murderer. The man wrote a letter from prison stating that he felt like the creep in the song and that the voices in his head persuaded him to kill a man. Suffice to say, Thom Yorke sufficiently creeped out by this letter. And if you're into alternative at all, any alternative or in rock station in general worth their salt has Creep by Radiohead in the rotation. In fact, if you want to listen to an amazing, you know, classic alternative station, well, listen to KGRG1 1330 on the AM dial, or you can go into KGRG1.com. It's also on TuneIn and iHeartRadio. Yeah, Creep's just one of those songs that if you're listening to a rock station, it's going to pop up. And yeah, it's the only Radiohead song that I know. It's just like when Adanek and I went to the morning after show when they opened up for Brett Michaels and Warrant. Warrant only had the one song that anybody wanted to listen to, and they played literally every song but that one. It's just like Click Click Boom by Saliva. Saliva is still around, believe it or not.
And only song I can name of from Saliva, Click Click Boom. And you know that when they go out and perform, that's the last song that they play. And just hope that everyone sticks around for that one song. And sometimes, it's not even worth it. But you know what? That was our top six little-known facts about songs from the 1990s. A quick recap of In Reverse. Number one was Radiohead's Creep. Number two was Barbie Girl by Aqua. Number three was Achy Breaky Heart and the hip-hop remix by none other than Billy Ray Cyrus. Number four was I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys. Number five, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith. And number six, Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot. Stay tuned to 89.9 KGRG-FM because we have our next guest in Guest of Blues a Week. Award-winning journalist Charlie Harger. He's going to join us to talk about fake news, play a rousing game of Is It Real or Is It Fake News Edition. And we're even going to premiere a very special, very unique comic book character because, you know what, Emerald City Comic Con is going on this week. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM.
Good news, everyone. We've got a very special delivery today.
A very special delivery indeed. To round out Guestapalooza Week, I have none other than the award-winning journalist himself, Charlie Harger, who also teaches Journalism 120 here at Green River College. If you want to take a journalism class with a real-life award-winning journalist, look no further than Journalism 120 with Charlie Harger. He's going to be joining us to talk about fake news, because, you know, that's been super prevalent in news, and I want to get his take as a journalist on it. We also talk about a superhero that I conceived based off of his likeness. So without further ado, here's my interview with Guestapalooza finalist, Charlie Harger.
Yeah, the biggest thing I want to touch on is just fake news in general. What is fake news? Since you are a journalist, active journalist, what has changed since, you know, fake news has become a prevalent thing?
Yeah, and I think one of the important things, Corey, that you need to think about is fake news gets thrown around a lot from different sides of the aisle. You've got liberals who will say it's one thing. You've got conservatives who say it's another. Basically, here's how I view fake news. Fake news is fake. It's demonstrably false. It's something that is put out there generally by websites that are trying to get clicks. So it'd be like Donald Trump speaks with space aliens. Click here to find out more. What happens is those websites, if you click on them, they make money. So they're trying to generate as much business as they can through demonstrable falsehoods. What gets confused here is that sometimes reporters from different news organizations will come out with stories that perhaps people don't agree with. Not necessarily wrong, but perhaps it doesn't fit up to their political ideology. So when that happens, that label of fake news gets applied, because fake news kind of came out into the atmosphere really about 6 months ago during the presidential election. People started throwing the term back and forth, and it was really aimed at some of these websites, you know, Bipartisan Reporter or what have you, that really put out some demonstrably false things. So we have the fake news, and then all of a sudden it kind of morphed itself into people saying, well, hey, I don't agree with you, Fox News, that's fake news. Or somebody saying, hey, NBC, I don't like what you're saying. That's fake news. Not necessarily the same thing.
Well, I remember, like, if you go to a newspaper stand, you see, like, the tabloids or whatever, like the Inquirer.
Yeah.
You know, aliens land at Roswell and celebrate their 25-year anniversary and stuff like that. That stuff is obviously, you know, fake or presumably fake. Same thing with TMZ. They'll toss out a lot of claims, but very rarely do people ever put any actual weight on TMZ, so...
Well, can I help you and your listeners just become a little better informed?
Oh,
here's
yeah.
something you never want to trust when you're going to a website. If a headline has a question mark on the end, so, did space aliens visit Donald Trump? Question mark. That is generally a headline where it can be answered with a two-letter response. You know what that two-letter response is? N-O, no. It's not happening. So if you see a headline with a question mark in it, typically that is something that is going to be something that the answer is ultimately no when you get into it. You can save yourself a lot of time.
Now, since the term fake news has become prevalent, how has that changed your job since you are an active reporter? Has that changed how you use sources? I know there's a lot of scrutiny on unnamed sources now.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's fair enough. I mean, when do you use unnamed sources and when do you name them? I think different news organizations have different reasons and different times they will do that. Like, for example, if you're trying to get information out of the White House and perhaps it's about some big scandal, an employee of the White House may not want to be identified. Maybe it's that of the governor's mansion, wherever it is. And in order for them to cooperate, they're going to want some sort of level of privacy. On the other hand, why wouldn't you identify people in other circumstances? So I think it's really a case-by-case basis in terms of unnamed sources. In terms of the difficulty of the job, I think that's a huge question as well. I think the current climate has, I hope, allowed many in the press to remember that our duty, our obligation, is not to political parties either way, but it's to our listeners and to our readers and to our viewers. And so what I think they expect from us is for us to be straightforward and not try to color our reporting with any inherent bias, at least. I hope that isn't happening. I know a lot of people will view news headlines and worry about what is being said, how it's coming out, the veracity of the reporting. But at least I know for myself, I'm just here to tell the truth and call it like I see it and try to, in a lot of ways, speak to the audience and let them know what we're observing.
Have you had any of your work so far called fake news?
No, I'm pretty lucky with that. Fortunately, when I go out and I do a report, I think something every journalist should, and ultimately many of them do try to do this, is you try to gather all perspectives. So, if there's a story about a tax increase, there are some people who are really in favor of tax increases, right? But there are other people who are like, I don't like taxes. So what you do is you talk to both sides. You don't necessarily give both sides equal weight in all cases, but you certainly say there are people who may disagree with this one proposal, and here's essentially what they're saying. But you try to get the truth out. You try to do it in as honest and, I hate the word transparent, but transparent way as possible.
Well, while I have you on the line, I also wanted to play a quick game of Is It Real or Is It Fake News
Edition. Okay, okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Is it real or is it fake?
So I have some headlines, and based off the headlines, you have to guess, is the news story real or is it fake?
Okay. Was that like some high-end production? Did you send that production piece out to like a house in New York or something like that? That was really well done.
That was actually courtesy of Mickey from Mike and Mickey After Dark when he was doing his show, so... Had to borrow the bit, but he's okay with it.
Awesome. Okay, let's do this.
So, first headline I have for you is, man stands under loose sign for 2 days hoping it'll fall on him so he can sue.
Oof, that's a tough one. I'm going to go fake news.
Fake news? Unfortunately, that news story is real.
Okay.
Get the hard ones out of the way, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, on Valentine's Day, one Manuel Garcia decided to hang out underneath a pharmacy sign outside of a Walmart in Texas for 2 days, hoping that the pee from the pharmacy would fall on him.
You never want that to fall on you.
No, God,
that
no.
Letter especially, you just don't want that falling on you.
Next news story we have for Is It Real or Is It Fake? Studies show that 35-year-olds have increased the amount of time they play on Sims. to simulate home ownership?
35-year-olds.
35-year-olds.
Okay, like the game The Sims.
The Sims, the one where you build houses and...
Does anybody play that anymore?
My roommate actually does, but she's not 35.
Okay. I am going to go again, fake news.
This was indeed fake. This was off the website, thehardtimes.net. It's a satirical website, very much like The Onion, just geared more towards like punk bands and stuff like that. And that was something that Facebook started, quote-unquote, cracking down on, was fake news. And since that happened, I've seen less of this and like less of The Onion, too, unfortunately. Those are always funny.
I love that stuff. I mean, satire has a place, right? It's just that perhaps you should label it as such.
Next, really, is it fake news story we have? Ken Burns, not sure how to turn down Ray Romano's repeated offers to narrate his next documentary. Is it real or is it fake?
I want it to be true, but that's part of the problem. I really want that to be true. Can you imagine Ray Romano narrating the Civil War? Oh, that would be fantastic. No, that doesn't sound real.
That one is indeed fake. There's a sound effect. And then we got our last one. Denzel Washington strangles Aretha Franklin. Is it real or is it fake?
True.
It is indeed true.
Oh, we'll see. What happened there?
A Manhattan man named Denzel Washington took a plea deal when he was arrested for strangling his mother, whose name is Aretha Franklin.
And now you know the rest of the story.
Right? Denzel was not the 61-year-old actor, but, yeah, just a dude hanging out in Manhattan.
Who decided, details, right?
He decided, you know, a little matricide. But, you know, that when I saw that headline originally, it got me to click on it.
And see, that's what happens. You're part of the problem. Fake news, Corey.
This was real, though. This is a real story. So, yeah, the Facebook thing in particular, cracking down on fake news and clickbait based off of like how headlines are phrased, I've noticed, yeah, has brought down quote-unquote fake news or satirical news with The Onion, The Hard Times, and other stuff like that. And I know even some of my Facebook posts on my page get a little less reach when I don't title it the right way.
Right. Well, you got to write in a way that makes people want to click on it, but you also don't want to, you know, as my dad might say, you don't want to baffle them with BS either. So you want somewhere where it can be appealing, but not a lie either.
And one last thing before I let you go.
Yeah. Oh boy.
It is Comic-Con weekend. The Emerald City Comic-Con's going on.
Yeah.
And I need the rights to your image.
Okay, to my image?
To your image. Here's why.
Well, yeah, tell me more.
So, my favorite part about your class, Journalism 120,
yeah,
was when you brought all of your equipment in from the field. Like, you had your voice recorder, you had your laptop,
right.
All, like, whole, like, backpack full of stuff.
Right.
Now, I was wondering how you power everything. And based off of your name...
Okay. You want to explain that?
Yes, based off of your name, Mr. Award-winning journalist Charlie Harger.
Yes.
I actually commissioned an artist to make a drawing that I will show you next time you're up here in studio.
Okay.
Of the Charger.
Of
the Charger. He's a mild-mannered reporter by day and superhero with his utility belt, instead of having a bunch of different utilities on there, it's just a bunch of outlets so you can charge your gadgets.
Okay, I appreciate that. I mean, I just went on a trip a couple weeks ago, and I had all sorts of phone chargers. My wife was rolling her eyes, so that could be my superpower.
There you go. And the best part about it is because his helmet's a plug. You can say it's a plug for your Class Journalism 120.
Oh, which is signing up now, and you can take Journalism 120 come spring quarter. We still have openings available, and you get to do all sorts of things. Not only have your own radio show, but also do podcasts.
And we actually started off on the AM side back, that's almost two summers ago now.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Charlie, thanks for joining us, and thanks for answering all of our questions on fake news and playing our Is It Real or Is It Fake News edition of the game.
Corey, it was nice being on with you today.
All right, thank you, sir. Have a good
afternoon.
All right,
buddy.
Neck Deep on 89.9 KGRG FM.
You've been listening to Guestapalooza Week on The Buzz. And unfortunately, like all good things, Guestapalooza Week must come to an end. But I'd like to thank all of our guests. Let's start from the beginning, shall we? I'd like to thank Mr. Monday Night himself, Mike. He's on the Monday Project every Monday night from 7 to 10. He called in Wednesday to talk all about Emerald City Comic Con. He's actually there hanging out with the Costume for Causes people, you know, at their table. So if you go say hi, I heard if you talk to Iron Man, he's hanging out there. He's got a special gift for you. So go find Mike. He's probably hanging out in his KGRG College Radio cosplay. So go say hi. I'd like to thank Dennis, and I'd like to thank Adam from Arsalis. They're going to be playing next week at the Crocodile. Make sure you get your tickets for that, because that's going to sell out. And I'm super excited for those guys. They won Northwest Music Scene's Album of the Year last year. They're in the works for another album this year, and you know it's going to be great. So keep tabs on them. We actually posted up a video yesterday of some Pictionary, so see if you can find that. It's on the KGRG Facebook page, our Facebook page, Marsalis' Facebook page, basically everywhere. If you haven't seen it yet, you haven't been on Facebook. I'd like to thank our guest from yesterday, Mr. Wade Neal from the Grand Cinema in Tacoma. Tomorrow night, coming out with me, I know Sophia won some tickets. I know that we have one Mr. Josh Stigham who won tickets. We have Dylan. He also won tickets, so thanks to everyone calling and won tickets. I still have a pair left. Still up for grabs if you call 253-833-5004. Or if you know, hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. Maybe I'll hook you up with some tickets. I'll be nice like that. So he talked all about what it means to be a cult classic film. Talked about the Cornetto trilogy because Shaun of the Dead is going to be playing on Saturday. And it's honestly one of my favorite zombie movies ever. So make sure you go check that out Saturday. And come say hi if you see me. I'll be wearing my KGRG t-shirt. And then I'd like to thank my Friday guests. Again, Sophia called in earlier. She talked about Parks and Rec, which show very near and dear to my heart. We also had award-winning journalist Charlie Harger. Again, thank you to you, sir, for joining us this morning, talking about fake news and all that. But you've been listening to Guestapalooza Week on The Buzz, 89.9 KGRG FM. If you missed this episode, any part of it whatsoever, we're on iTunes, we're on SoundCloud, we're on Google Play, we're on Stitcher, we're on the KGRG FM app, we're on the KGRG.com website. Anywhere you can find audio, anywhere you can find any sort of podcast, whatever, we're there. So just search The Buzz KGRG. Check out this episode on demand, as well as our interviews from all of our guests. We have it all there on demand as well, just so you can sit there, click play, and just listen to your favorite guest. But until next Wednesday, bright and early 6 a.m. on 89.9 KGRG FM, this has been The Buzz. We'll leave you with Yellow Card.